Ed Fitzgerald's program will be presented at the conclusion of the special broadcast which follows. Siegfried Schultz, correspondent for the Chicago Tribune and Mutual's American Observer in Germany, is ready now with a report from Berlin. Ms. Schultz reports on the latest developments in Germany as she sees them. Since she speaks to us from a country at war, naturally, censorship conditions prevail at the point of origination. We take you now to Berlin, Germany.
Hello, Mutual Broadcasting System. Hello, Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Siegfried Schultz, the Berlin correspondent of the Chicago Tribune, speaking to you from Berlin. Hitler's own bodyguards presented arms in the court of honor of Nazi Germany's new giant chancellery this noon, in honor of Mr. Sumner Wells, America's special emissary, entrusted by President Roosevelt with the task of sounding out European statesmen about the possibility of restoring peace to Europe. The drums of the first company of Hitler's bodyguard echoed through the newly built court of honor behind the enormous bronze doors separating it from the Wilhelmstrasse. Six men of the guard, many of whom were in the Polish campaign, stood rigid in the traditional Prussian formation, while Mr. Wells, accompanied by America's chargé d'affaires, Chicago-born Mr. Alexander Kirk, were greeted by Hitler's minister in the Chancellery, Herr Meissner, and Hitler's chief adjutant, Herr Oberleutnant Brückner. Nazi officials received the Americans and escorted them up the steps to the big mosaic hall, through the newly built round hall crowned by a cupola, to the huge hall decorated with costly tapestries, in the middle of which is the entrance to Hitler's official study, built specially for diplomatic conferences. At the door of this study, Germany's foreign minister, Herr von Ribbentrop, received the American guests and took them into Hitler. As the foreign minister, Herr von Ribbentrop, makes it a point not to speak English since the outbreak of the war, Germany's number one official interpreter, Dr. Paul Schmidt, stood in readiness to tender his services both for his chief of state and the American guests. After Mr. Wells and Mr. Kirk had prepared the ground for today's conference carefully with the foreign minister and the secretary for foreign affairs yesterday, they were able to delve most quickly into the problem at hand. Officials, who are undeniably in a position to know, told their friends that the supreme master of Nazi Germany outlined his views on how he thinks the relations between Germany and America should be developed. That a reappointment of ambassadors to both countries would improve relations is a subject on which diplomats in their polite talks agreed quite a while ago, and it is understood that Hitler touched the matter only very briefly. The question of vital importance is that of the possibility of restoring peace to Europe. I understand that in this matter, Herr Hitler outlined his position most clearly. It can be summarized in 4 points. The first point deals with what Germany considers her living space, the area in Central Europe, which she claims as a land in which she is to be the ruling factor, economically, politically, and from a cultural viewpoint. While England and France have been stating that they could not consider peace terms unless Germany were ready to agree to a restoration of Poland and the Czech lands, the Germans demand that Bohemia and Moravia, which formed a part of former Czechoslovakia, must remain under German rule. They also declare that the parts of Poland, which are now under German control, must remain under German control. Germany tries to make light of the national feelings of Poles and Czechs alike, and she is trying to convince herself and others that these feelings, which survived centuries of war and strife, were artificially encouraged by England and France. The second point refers to Scandinavia. The Germans assert that England has been trying, as they say, to use Scandinavia as a center of unrest directed against Germany. The English must agree, the Germans say, to refrain from political activities of any kind in this region. The third point shows how closely Italy and Germany have been cooperating because, in this case, the Germans are endorsing former purely Italian claims. They demand that England should agree to abandon Malta, the island in the Mediterranean, which the Italians have claimed for decades. The Germans also seek to show their friendship with Franco-Spain, by stating that their enemy England must return Gibraltar to Spain. In official Nazi circles, there has been much talk in recent months about a Monroe Doctrine for Germany in Central Europe. This slogan made its official bow in the fourth point of the conference that today between Herr Hitler and Mr. Wells. Herr Hitler declared that he would consider peace only if England and France were ready to concede to Germany the same position in Central Europe as America holds in the western part of the world. That is to say, if she fully recognized Germany's right to the living space she claimed. The territories adjoining Germany, not including Poland and Czechoslovakia, should bear the same relationship to Germany as the other American states bear to the United States of America. Hitler naturally also demanded the return of the former German colonies. To those who have been following European developments recently, these demands are no surprise. That they should have been formulated so clearly is an interesting development. It is hard to find anybody in usually well-informed circles in Berlin who believes that a compromise is possible on this basis. Therefore, most people attach great importance to the statements issued by the semi-official news agency, which talks about the German army standing in readiness, waiting for the order for the decisive stroke. It adds threateningly, one may feel certain that this stroke will shatter all previous conceptions of military striking power. Though the hopes for a peace compromise are exceedingly slim, a tone of friendly courtesy prevailed all along in official and semi-official conversations. Mr. Wells spent from 5 minutes past 11 this morning until 40 minutes past 12 with Herr Hitler, but he never was alone with him. Effen Ribbentrop was present all the time, as well as the interpreter and Hitler's other aides. The conversations between the American emissary and the ruler of Germany took place in the same study in which Hitler received all other leading statesmen of Europe who called in his capital. The conversation took place in the corner near the fireplace, surrounded by the big Chippendale set, which was used first when Mussolini paid his state visit to Hitler. The portrait of Bismarck, the Iron Chancellor, by Franz von Leinbach, looked down on the group, including Herr Hitler and his aides, Mr. Wells and Mr. Kirk. In a nearby corner, a huge globe of the world, equipped with a special electric lighting, shone dimly in readiness should the statesman decide to study it. Tomorrow morning, Mr. Wells will see Herr Hermann Göring, the second-in-command in the German realm, who has been at the Western Front paying a visit to the German troops in the Siegfried Line, a visit which immediately started talk among the German population about the possible date of the possible offensive about which everybody has been talking. Tomorrow night at 11 minutes past 9, Mr. Wells and his party plan to take the train for Bâle in Switzerland and continue their tour to France and England. As matters stand at the present moment, Mr. Wells may pay a final call to Herr von Ribbentrop tomorrow afternoon, but it is by no means certain. There has been some talk of a second conversation between Wells and Herr Hitler, but this was considered highly improbable by well-informed men who hold that Mr. Wells was able to discuss most topics he planned to discuss with Mr. von Ribbentrop and Herr Hitler in yesterday's and today's conferences. This noon and afternoon were devoted to social meetings and gatherings, with the Germans extending elaborate entertainment for the official American party and the Americans with them. This included lunches, cocktail parties, and dinners. It may even include a theater party, since some of the Americans expressed the desire to see the German production of Danton's Death, a dramatic play about the French Revolution, praised by critics for its stark realism and revolutionary qualities, in which there is little talk of peace and the gentle aspects of life which seem very far away from Europe.
Siegfried Schultz, correspondent of the Chicago Tribune and Mutual's American reporter in Berlin, Germany, has reported her observations of the latest developments direct from the German capital. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.